Welcome. God bless you. My name is Rory Whitney. I'm one of the pastors along with Gary Osborne. We pastor a church here in Omaha and Lincoln called Candlewood Church, and we're just excited to have you all here, and thank you for being here. Last June, the men that have been asked to speak received an email from Mark, and he had this topic written down, a character, and as I was looking at it, I kind of thought to myself, that would probably be the one topic that I hope and pray I don't get. And then by God's grace, as we continued to receive correspondence from our brother, and this is what was given to me. You know, I was thinking about this subject, character, and I titled it Cultivate Character. I wrote this down just this morning. I don't know what it is, but I know people who have it. You know, character is really what we're working on all of our life. If we truly love the Lord and are trying to be His ambassador and trying to grow in our knowledge of Him, and character is probably what will define your life. I looked up the word cultivate, since I have these two words, cultivate character. Cultivate, it says to devote time and thought to prepare, to loosen, or break up. Well, as a farmer, I'd like to be a farmer, but I'm not a farmer, but I do remember breaking up the soil to cultivate, to devote time and thought to prepare, to loosen, to break up. And then the word character, Webster defines character this way, a sign or token placed upon an object, a mark, a brand, a stamp, character. A mark, a brand, a stamp. You, brothers and sisters, are revealing your character every moment of the day. You've been revealing your character since you got up this morning. You've been revealing to us who you are. To cultivate character. What is it going to take? So my hope and my prayer is that we could discover together this morning God's ways of growing character in our lives. Our character is a reflection of who we are. Your character. To be men and women of character. When Mark was alluding to this on the very first night of the conference, and he was talking about people that are set apart in this Christendom, and he was looking at you, these 2,000 people here that are trying to do things for God. And I'm telling you, I'm surrounded by men and women of character. You could have 300 pastors up here preaching this message. They're all men of character. As we grow deeper in love with our King and realize that He is our everything, we are but commonplace people. That is when godly character will be realized in our life. I was reading this past fall. It just seemed like every time I turned around, I was thinking about this message. You know, it is something to have something put on your docket in June, and now it's December. You think about it a lot. You pray about it a lot. Mr. Chambers said this in October, "The true test of a person's spiritual life and character is not what he does in the extraordinary moments of life on the stage at Faith Walkers, but what he does during the ordinary times when there is nothing tremendous or exciting happening. A person's worth is revealed in his attitude toward the ordinary things of life when he is not under the spotlight. It is painful work to get in step with God and to keep pace with him. It means getting your second wind spiritually. In learning to walk with God, there is always the difficulty of getting into his stride. But once we have done so, the only characteristic that exhibits itself is the very life of God himself in you. The individual person is merged into a personal oneness with God. In God's stride and his power alone are exhibited. What do you remember most about people who are no longer with you? Grandpas and grandmas and maybe mothers and fathers or sons and daughters that have passed on and are not with you. Most likely you remember character traits. To describe that person, you probably use examples of how those traits work themselves out in their personal life. What do your friends, right now today, brothers and sisters, what is your friends in your life group, how do they describe you? What do they say about you? Husbands, what does your wife think about you? Wives, how does that all work? It is what you're speaking without saying a word. People are defined by their actions, which reveals our character. So my prayer this morning is that everyone here today would know that the result of practicing and living and believing the spiritual exercises that God sets before us daily will result in men and women of godly character. What a subject. What an incredible subject. You know, I'll be honest with you too. You know, I looked at that bookmark, brother, and I thought, whoa. Man, I got a long ways to go. And then I remembered something. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Then I thought of other verses that says that he who began the good work in me will perfect it. And then I thought about all these attributes that God wants us to be, that how he wants us to be these men and women of character. And it's beyond my human possibilities. I can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ. And God is the one who's going to create us into the men and women of character that he wants us to be. And what we do in secret, what we do when no one else is looking, that's who you are. That's who you are. So here I am speaking about character. Character. If you could see my closet. You wouldn't call me friend. But God in his power can help us. God in his power can equip us. God in his power can create in us to be the men and women of character that he desires. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and look to the King. Ask him to give us grace here for these next few moments. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share what you've placed on my heart, and I need to trust you and have the confidence to know that what I'm going to share is what you want communicated. I'm not like these other men. I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. This is what you've encouraged me with. This is what I'm going to share. I pray you'd open our ears, you'd open our hearts, you'd open our minds, Lord, that you would teach us in these areas of our life. We just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you have a book, a Bible, those things called Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah 1 or you can look at the screen here. I'd like to read the first chapter out of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I have 3 points I'll share with you. The first one is this: character begins with our relationships. Character begins with our relationships. Let's look at a man named Nehemiah. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakalah. Nehemiah's concern for Jerusalem. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace, and the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." And when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. And then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands and decrees and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me." And in those days, I was the king's cupbearer. As I read about Nehemiah, what grips my attention in this chapter is his compassion and his concern and his care for the relationships that he had. His compassion and his concern and his care. His reaction to the news concerning Jerusalem shows that he was a man of godly character. And you write this down, young men, young women, older men and older women. Crises that come into your life reveal your character. I loved, I love what Tom shared about the moment that he saw his little daughter. You see, that crisis in that brother's life revealed that he was a man of character. And I've said this so many times, that we're all either going into a storm or coming out of a storm, but all you have to do is look across the horizon, across the sea, and you'll see storms blowing everywhere. Crisis reveals a person's character. Just got done reading the book Unbroken by Laura Hildebrand. My son gave me the book a little while ago, and I picked it up, and I started reading it, and I was just so moved by this man. Crisis. And I think of my life. I think, Rory, what have you... And I would just really encourage everyone here, you should go get the book Unbroken and read it. About a soldier who was stranded in the Pacific Ocean and then into the Japanese war camps for 2.5 years, and how this man experienced the tragedy and the depravity of humanity. Crises revealed Louis Zamperini's character. Crises will reveal your character. Nehemiah's character was cultivated in his relationship with God. That's where it was cultivated. His character was cultivated in his relationship with God. And this relationship was forged in the furnace of prayer. We will not be men and women of character if we do not pray. That was my subject last year, was prayer. I love what Mitch said at the end. I was in my messages with, if you don't pray and if you don't read. Prayer. Becoming men and women of character will reveal your dependence upon prayer. How could Nehemiah respond this way to the crisis that he heard? It was because he was in relationship with God. Wrote these four things down concerning prayer. What does prayer do? Well, it makes you wait. It slows you down. It quiets your heart. It builds your character. Patience is good for us. I've been praying for a son for 14 years. The moment that I realized in his life that this isn't working, things aren't going right, things aren't going good, there's something wrong inside there, in that heart. There's something wrong. Oh, I know what it is. It's a heart of stone. He needs to be warmed by God. He needs the touch of God. 14 years. Am I going to give up? Of course I'm not going to give up. Be there no one else on the face of the earth that would pray for him. I will. What do you do when crisis has come in your life? Run to mommy. Run to daddy. Run to your life group leader. Run to your pastor. We don't have the answers. Don't run to me. But I'll point you who to run to. Prayer makes you wait. Yes, it does. Prayer makes you slow down. Yes, it does. Prayer quiets your heart. Yes, it does. Prayer builds character in your life. Prayer also, it sharpens your vision. It clears the way that you should go. Creates character in your life. Prayer energizes your faith. It energizes you. Gives you confidence in the King. It energizes your faith and it gives you a greater confidence and commitment to the work that He's called you to. And it requires you to look beyond yourself. And when you look beyond yourself, that's when character begins. In this book of Nehemiah, we see him over 14 times. He's either praying or he's involved in some aspect of prayer. And as you read his life story, you discover that seeking God's direction through prayer was the constant habit of this remarkable man. I just want to say this real quickly. The majority of you men in this company right here will not be pastors. You will never be a pastor. Nehemiah was a layman. Nehemiah was a man who was a government agent. Nehemiah was a man who literally changed the face of history. Why? Because he was a man of character. And his character was forged in the furnace of prayer with his God. Two things about this brother. Nehemiah was a man of prayer, and that prayer created a man of character. Irregardless of our position. Do I say that statement about not becoming a pastor to deflate everybody's dreams out here, any of you men that are aspiring to that? Of course not. But if you're here today, then I would consider that unless God's put a call on your life, that unless you're a man of character, you probably will not become pastors. I'm surrounded by men in Omaha that have the character to become pastors. And my prayer, my desire is to see them raised up and to see that accomplished. But I can put math together in this simple mind. We're not going to have 100 pastors in a church of 200. I mean, it's not going to happen. I remember at a young time in my life, I don't know how God gets men into this position. I really don't know how it happens. I really don't understand why I'm speaking here. You know how ludicrous that almost seems? Do you think I could have, when I first got excited for the Lord, I was 29 years old. Do you think I could have somehow, at the age of 29, written out this history and said when I was 57 that I'd be speaking to a Faith Walkers conference about character? I have no idea how these things come about. But I know this. That during all these past years of my life of walking with God, oh, I've stumbled. Man, I've stumbled so many times. But I got back up. And I told the Lord I was sorry. And I asked Him to help me. And I did the things that God's asked me to do. I kept my mouth shut. I carried my burdens to the Lord. I got up in the morning, I read my Bible. I prayed, I opened my mouth. All of us, each and every one of us, need to desire that God would give us, God would place within us the desire to become like Him. When Mitch was sharing about conviction and about that sin that he was struggling with, I'll never forget the time that I was, I probably shared this before, but I'll never forget the time that my son had asthma and we lived in a double-wide trailer and we had a lot of kids and I was excited about Jesus and we were doing the Gothard thing even, and I mean, that was a whole nother world. And then we were just trying to homeschool and being involved in this church and all this stuff. And I was praying and I was also smoking my cigarettes. And I remember one night just sitting at the bed with my sons or daughters. I can't remember. We had them all stacked in rooms like a high rise. And I remember my son was was praying. That little guy that doesn't know the Lord, that guy, he was praying. God, help my daddy. He has asthma. God, help my daddy to quit smoking. Wow. Wow. Okay, what do I do with that? Here, take a breathalyzer. I walked out of that bedroom, put him to bed, and I started thinking. I remember exactly what Mitch said. I said the same thing. I said, Lord, I like smoking. God, you got to give me conviction to stop smoking because I know I can't do it. And so now, you know, 2 weeks ago I quit smoking. No, I'm kidding. All right, I know some of you are thinking I probably do, but I don't. It was 20-some years ago I quit, okay? Number two, character grows through our disciplines. It grows through our disciplines. Brother Tom Dunham from Cottonwood up at Grand Forks, he wrote this on December the 18th in our Faith Walkers. Point number two, character grows through our disciplines. Through many successful endeavors, the Navy's elite sea, air, and land commandos, the SEALs, have earned considerable respect. The SEALs were created in 1962. The most challenging week in the life of a new trainee is a brutal 5-day ordeal. At the toughest military school in the world, up to 70% of trainees failed to make it through. George Washington said, "Discipline is the soul of an army. Make small numbers formidable." Our first president knew whereof he spoke. Personal discipline makes for better soldiers, and better soldiers make for better armies. On the other hand, men who lack personal discipline, women who lack personal discipline, set themselves up for failure. Peter the Great, a Russian czar and a great conqueror who killed his son in a fit of rage, said, "I have conquered empires, but I was not able to conquer myself." The Apostle Paul knew the paramount importance of discipline and wrote this, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." What are these disciplines that produce godly character in our life? I'd like to look at a passage that Brent alluded to. In the first opening session, and as Brent said, and I'd like to finish my teaching with 1 Peter 3, my heart kind of went up. Oh, that's what I'm going to share on. But his thoughts were different than mine. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 10 says this, "By his divine power, God has given us everything." And the other thing I would say is this, guess what, brothers and sisters? Apparently the Lord really wants to hammer home this passage. "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith," I'm going to use the old King James here, "virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind or forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. I'd like to look at these seven attributes that Peter lists, and I just want to quickly just throw them up there for you. But virtue, it's an old word. Virtue, this word. Sometimes we have a mentality that comes into our mind, and the mentality is like purity and that. But virtue. When Paul wrote this word, he was looking at a Roman soldier. Virtue means this. The word is in reference to strength and valor and courage and excellence. How this world needs believers who will stand up for that which is right and to stand up and be counted for God in this day. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to be men and women of character, we have to be men and women of virtue. We have to be men and women of strength and valor and courage. We have to open our mouth. You have to be embarrassed. If we grow in this area of virtue, God says we will grow in character, strength and valor and courage. Second word is knowledge. This word is in reference to knowing God and His salvation. That's simple. In reference to knowing God and His salvation. And this knowledge is revealed in His Word. So here's the question. Do you read it? Do you memorize it? Do you believe it? Do you proclaim it? Do you memorize God's Word? We've been hammering this in our church for a couple years. Topical memory system, 60 different verses, 5 different subject matters. They're not all here, but I'll just be real honest with you. You know, we set this one simple verse out every single week, and the majority of our people don't get up. We ask them to stand up and recite the verse. The majority don't. Why? Sorry, I'm looking over there. Why? I let them answer it. Do you memorize it? Or did you do your 5-minute quiet time this morning? Knowledge, the knowledge of God, the strength of God comes through God's Word, through His Spirit. Third word is temperance. Temperance. Simple word, temperance. Modern translation, see, self-control. It's in the area of self-control. Of course, it's in the area of self-control. Temperance. Self-control in the area of prayer and Bible study and the use of your time and the curbing of your bodily appetites, whatever they be. We all have them, don't we? Your sacrificial living, it's an area of self-control. Self-control in the areas of my moral choices, my physical choices, my mental choices, my spiritual choices. Are we men and women that practice self-control? We back up from the table when we're full. We don't watch what we shouldn't watch. We don't listen to what we shouldn't listen to. We don't do the things that this world does. We are ambassadors and foreigners. We are strangers in this land. You should look different. We should look and act and smell and talk different. The next word, perseverance. This word is in reference to patient endurance during times of persecution and adversity. Godly character. Cultivate character. Character, it grows through our disciplines. And one of those words is perseverance. This Christian life is a challenge to endure. We must persevere in spite of our present difficulties. God never promised you a rose garden, no matter what that song says. God told us to pick up our cross daily and to come follow Him. Whatever that cross be, it was fashioned by the hand of your Master, and He places it on your shoulder and on my shoulder. There's this daily routine of menial tasks, of disappointing circumstances, of bitter grief, of shattered dreams. We all have them. Things aren't working out the way I thought they were going to work out. What is our options? Throw in the towel or persevere? There are times in this Christian life, brothers and sisters, where you got to just grind it out. You got to put one foot in front of the next. You got to get on your knees and pray. You got to open that book. It's not kumbaya. Why do you think so few want to accept this message? Perseverance is the art of bearing up and pressing on in the face of all that seems to be against you. God, help us to persevere. The next word is godliness, and this word is in reference to exactly what it says, to be like God. Am I going to be like God? I have no idea. But I wrote down these simple things. Well, I should be like God in the way that I think, in the way that I speak, in my actions, in my testimony. Those around me, those that live around me, even if they don't know me, even if they see me passing in the hallway of my workstation, even if they see me passing in the hallway of my dormitory, or even if there be neighbors around me, they should know there's something different about you. We need to imitate with our speech, our actions, our thoughts. Do you say good morning to the workers here? Did you tell that young man, that brother right there that's sweeping up right back there, did you tell him, good morning? Do we think of the least and the lost? I shared a little message yesterday about the Ebed, about having the life of a slave. And I asked them there, I said, look, keep your eyes open for the foot washers of this world. Because there you will find our Savior. Godliness. We're to be like Him. Oh, we can't be Him. We're not all 2,000 little gods running around here. I didn't say that. I said we're to imitate Him, to be like Him. God, help us. The next word is in brotherly kindness, is the old translation says, brotherly kindness. This word is in reference to our fellow believers. Our lives need to be defined by the expression of love to those that are in your fellowship. It can't be about you. It's not about you. As Rick Warren said, it's not about you. Brotherly kindness, what are the expressions of love that you've given to those around you in your fellowship, in your church, in your life group, your home group? We need to be the most generous of people. And I'm not talking about being generous and being kind so that you get a pat on the back. Doing it in ways that only the Lord knows. The last word is charity. Modern translations say love, but this word charity is in reference to those outside of God's family, unbelievers. You know, we could just keep working through these seven words. But really, the only form of love that I can never really ultimately share with someone that's outside the family of God is the gospel. So, I heard it a little bit here already, this conference, but after a person is born again, he or she should not stay in the crib saying, da-da. You know, honestly, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you've been walking with the Lord, you really don't even need to be burped that often. We should get to the place in our life where we grow up. And no matter how many Faith Walkers conferences you come to, no matter how many times you listen to these golden-lipped speakers up here, it won't affect you on January the 2nd at all. This character that I'm talking about is between you and God. It's you and God. These characters, these attributes of godly character that Peter speaks about, they do not come automatically. It requires hard work. They're not optional. And you don't finish one and then start on the next. It's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Well, if you grow in your relationship with the Spirit, you will exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Spirit doesn't just give you one apple one day and an orange the next day and a banana the other day and a Rainier cherry one day. You can't, well, I'm going to work so hard on becoming a man of virtue today. I'm going to get that one accomplished, and it doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. Don't stay in the crib. Don't look to somebody else to nourish you. You know, I love being with this association. I love being involved with you. But it was like 16, 17 years ago that I joined Gary and Patty, and my wife and our family joined Gary and Patty Osborne, and we joined up down in Omaha. And that was the beginning of my relationship with Great Commission Association of Churches. And for 10 years up in the little northwest area of the Promised Land, and I was there in Iowa and just reading my Bible and going to this little country church. There were good men around me, and I watched them. I saw them. I saw their examples. I saw their life. I never once had one person of accountability. I never had one person that I went to every week and told them, yep, I looked at pornography again today. Man up. Identify it for what it is. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to character, that's going to be forged in your relationship with God. And God will create us into becoming those men and women of character. And it comes through practicing all these principles that Peter speaks about. Being men and women that practice virtue and knowledge and temperance and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. My third point, character matures into blessings. Character matures into blessings. And by the way, I better back up here. Something just came to mind. Am I denouncing accountability? Of course not. But I do want to say this. If you think that your accountability partner is going to give you power over sin, you are crazy. You're crazy. It'll never happen. Do I want us to be in fellowship and to help one another? Of course. I know that sounded really rough a little bit ago. So I'm kind of backing up a little bit, but I just want to stress the importance of character. Character is forged in that vertical relationship you have with your King. It's got to be. Because I can't create it in me. And you can't create it in me. But God can. He can create in us. What, how, and who we are as men and women of character. And the third point is character matures into blessings. I just want to read this passage because it's such an incredible passage. One day he saw the crowds gathering. Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of God is theirs. And God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. To be blessed means more than happiness. It implies this enviable state of those who are in God's kingdom. There is a joy. Being blessed by God means the experience of a hope and a joy independent of our outward circumstances. I was thinking about my life and this path that I've been on. I really many times feel like, of course, I've had my wife and I've had my family. I've had this church. I've had my brother, Gary, with me. But I've really felt very lonely on this path. Not in physical relationships, but just like me and God. You know, you kind of wonder, are you doing it right? You kind of wonder, are you making a mark? You kind of wonder, am I pleasing to my King? God in His grace
has shown me
at this stage of my life just how blessed I am. Oh, I'm rich. I'm materially so crazy wealthy. And I mean that. Do I have anything in my bank account? No. But I have a home that I love. I have a little acreage that I live on that I love killing moles. I really rejoice when the trap sets and I pull that thing up and I won. You know, unless you've been in that state, you really don't know how blessed you are, you know. And brothers and sisters, I want to say to you that as you grow in your character, you will experience such blessing from God. Well, that doesn't mean everything's right. Doesn't mean you don't have trials. Doesn't mean you don't have pain. Doesn't mean that you haven't experienced defeat. But there's this inner joy, this inner purpose that's beyond all comprehension. To be blessed by God would mean to discover God's peace, as it says in Philippians 4:7, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I've experienced God's peace that's beyond comprehension. When the crisis has come to my life, there's also there's a temptation right there. I can either allow my flesh to go to fear or my spirit to go to peace. And God has taught me His peace. To be blessed by God would mean to discover His purpose, as Paul did in 2 Timothy 4. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return. The prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing. To be blessed by God means that we discover His peace, His purpose, and I want to just shout this out to each and every one of you. He will also provide your provision as you're growing in your character with God. And don't be concerned, as it says in Luke, and don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need to cultivate character. As I said in the beginning, I don't know what it is, but I know people that have it. I know it begins in our relationship with God. And that relationship with God is formed and established through prayer. I know it grows through our disciplines of asking God to help us to become those men of and women of virtue and knowledge and temperance and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And I know it matures into blessings, both in this life and in the next. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for today. Thank You, Lord, for teaching us. I thank You, Lord, for all the messages that have come so far. I pray that You grant the brothers grace that are going to finish this course. Pray You'd help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on You, that You would establish within us, Lord, the ability to trust you, Lord, to accomplish in our souls, Lord, the character that you want us to be. We'd be men and women that would practice the disciplines you set before us, that we would grow up, we would quit looking to others, Lord. We would look to you and you alone. We thank you for others, but God, you're our source of strength. You're the one who refines us. You're the one who molds us and makes us, and I pray, God, that you would help us all to be men and women of character. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Have a great day.
Amen. Thank you, Rory. Rory's been pretty sick, and he persevered through it, and I'm very touched that you did. And just so you know, Rory, the reason that you're here sharing is because I invited you. Amongst other people, I always look forward, brother, to hearing what God puts on your heart. It means a great deal to me. I was reminded of one verse as Rory was sharing. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God, through His Holy Spirit, has given us the ability to develop self-discipline in our lives, which is so critical, as Rory was sharing, to our character. And I just thought it'd be so important for you to remember, as Mitch shared with us, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings us holy self-discipline. He helps us in those areas. And then what Rory shared with us is so important, so profound. I also wanted to drive home the book that he recommended that you read, but I would like to recommend a different one on the same topic because I've read them both. Unbroken has about 400 pages, and I happen to know that most of you, though I desire you'd read it, won't. It's a tremendous story. The Devil at My Heels is Louis Zamperini's story in his own words, forwarded by John McCain, and it has about 180, 250 pages, and he gets much more profoundly into his own testimony. I please start your new year. Buy it at Half Price Books. I just recommended it to a young person recently. He wrote me. They read it in a couple days, Mark. This was so inspiring. This gave me so much hope for the situations that I'm facing. It's called The Devil at My Heels. You can get it for about $8. A friend of mine got it for me for $1. He knows where to find that stuff. You guys know how to use online. The Devil at My Heels. So we're going to let this side of the room go first today, right? Right down the middle. And remember, there's the escalator, the elevator, the stairs, down to lunch. And the others of you would just take the next 10 minutes, and I'd like to just reflect to the person next to you a couple of the things the Lord impressed on your heart this morning through Mitch and through Rory.